keep him healthy. That ball is hammered to left center field. Goodbye! Two-run shot! Tie game! Right up to where he used to sit as a kid coming to games here at Dodger Stadium. His career this year, trying to lead the Twins to the postseason. He turns on a ball and hits it a mile. Byron Buxton puts the AL in front. Two mammoth home runs. Stanton and now Buxton.
And those home runs were the difference last night in Major League Baseball All-Star Game as the American League wins its ninth in a row. They have won 21 of the last 25. As early on, it was the National League with the early lead, thanks to Paul Goldschmidt with a home run after an RBI hit by Mookie Betts. It was 2-0 National League. They would not score the rest of the game. Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees tying the game with a mammoth 457-foot shot, as you heard. Next batter, Twin center fielder Byron Buxton hit a shot. He hit a pitch that was about at his head, and he at the height of his head, and hit it over the wall off for Dodger pitcher Tony Gosselin. Gosselin gives up all three runs, and he's been outstanding for the Dodgers this year. Royals had one representative, as you know, left fielder Andrew Benintendi. He went 0-for-2 at the plate. It was a low-scoring affair. Home runs were the difference. Buxton with the game winner, but Giancarlo Stanton was named the MVP.
My pops took me to my first Dodger game. I'd always sit in left field, come and try to scalp tickets, whatever we could afford, and sit out there in left field, and to be playing left field and hit one out there is incredible for me. It's going to be an amazing memory for all my life, and I'm just happy. This is incredible.
So once again, American League wins the 92nd Midsummer Classic, the final last night, 3-2, and so everybody will get back in action, resuming the season either Thursday or Friday, tomorrow or Friday. The Royals will be back on the field to start a three-game set at home against the very good Tampa Bay Rays. The Royals finished their drafting yesterday. Major League Baseball draft wrapped up with rounds 11 through 20, and the Royals selected 10 players. Oklahoma pitcher David Sandlin, Baylor shortstop Jake Pineda, Maryland pitcher Ryan Ramsey, Houston pitcher Ben Sears, Vanderbilt outfielder Javier Vaz, BYU pitcher Cooper McKeon, Oklahoma pitcher Chaz Martinez, Walden Grove, Arizona high school outfielder Milo Rushford, and a high school pitcher from Michigan, Tommy Serspansky, and a high school two-way player, Austin Charles. And all out of the 20 picks, the only high school picks the Royals chose were the ones in the final three rounds. 12 pitchers and 8 of their 20 picks were position players. There were some athletes from high schools and colleges in Kansas that were taken. Alex Cook, pitcher for Colby Community College, was taken in the 12th round by the Rays. Paola High School pitcher Caden Markham went to the Rangers in the 13th round. Miguel Fulgencio went to the Pirates. He's from Cali County, a pitcher. K-State pitcher Blake Adam selected by the Rockies. And outfielder Dom Johnson went to the Tigers. Butler County pitcher Braxton Hyde went to the Rockies in the 14th round. Pitt State, representing my Gorillas, first baseman Garrett McGowan was taken in the 17th round by the Astros. The Mets took Blue Valley West High School shortstop Jackson Lovich in the 19th. And the Giants selected Manhattan High School pitcher Cade Perkins. For the entire draft listings, visit MLB.com. Dusty, there was some really good games, it looked like, in the Pee Wee. I know there's a couple close games. And then the Legion was interesting last night as Beloit was kind of in the driver's seat and then a Concordia beat them to stay alive. And so, Dusty, I'll fill you in on what took place with local baseball last night.
Yeah, Pee Wee, there were a couple close games and a couple that weren't so close. In the top side of the bracket, Osborne kind of methodically won over Lynn 8-2. The Concordia Legion, a very low-scoring affair, beat Concordia Knights 1-0 there on the top of the bracket. The early game on the bottom of the bracket, Beloit Rampage falling just short to Hanover 7-6 with the final in that one. The second game was a blowout. Smith Center over Valley Heights 18-1 on the bottom side of the bracket. So four teams remain in the Pee Wee State Baseball Tournament. Osborne will play Concordia Legion at 7 o'clock on Thursday in the first semifinal, and Hanover takes on Smith Center at 8:30 in the second semifinal coming up there on Thursday night in Washington is where the Pee Wee State Baseball Tournament is taking place. American Legion AA Zone 3 at Concordia started off with an elimination game with Concordia winning over Republic County 11-8, and then Concordia came back again winning over Beloit 10-5 in the first game of the finals there last night. So Concordia and Beloit will have to play one more time. The winner of this game coming up tonight, which will first pitch will be at 7 o'clock there in Concordia tonight for the American Legion Zone 3 Tournament Championship. Championship. The first pitch, again, 7 o'clock as the winner moves on to the state tournament next week, July 27th through 31st in Topeka. The loser will be done for the season, so it's winner take all there for the Zone Championship coming up tonight. You can find the complete updated brackets for both of these tournaments, as well as the K-18 State Baseball Tournament, which starts this weekend in Lucas, and that's all posted at ncksports.com.
All right, time to get on my pet peeve soapbox. And so my son plays on a traveling basketball team, and we talked yesterday about how the people that run these tournaments don't care about the parents and they don't care about the players. They just want to collect the Benjamins. So we have a tournament in Kansas City this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, Tuesday of the week of the tournament, we received the schedule, and we play Thursday. We've never played a tournament on a Thursday in 2 years. Mm-hmm. We play on a Thursday. So we have 48 hours for people to rearrange their work schedules, whatever else it may be, right? So that was yesterday. You thought that was bad. So you've got to shuffle. How do we get there? How do we do this? And kids got, yeah, other kids, you know, have activities and who knows whatever commitments, and parents have job commitments and so forth and so on. Today, Wednesday morning at 8:53 a.m., we have a schedule change. So we were going to play 2 on Thursday, 2 on Friday in Kansas City. Now we play at 8:25 Thursday night. Then we played 2 on Saturday. That stayed the same. And then, oh, yeah, they bumped one of our Thursday games to Saturday at 8 a.m., which honestly makes us pay at the gate 3 days instead of two. You don't think they do that on purpose? So now we got to get bright up really, really early on Saturday, which I'm not a big fan of that. And this is 36 hours before the tournament begins. Actually, 24 hours. Because it's just, there's no, like, you get to a certain point in time, and that's the cutoff, all right? Get by Sunday night at midnight. Sunday or Monday morning at midnight, you cut it off. That's the teams. Everybody's known when to register well in advance. And then Monday, you release the schedule. Or Sunday night, release the schedule. At least gives people a little bit more time. It would help everybody, including parents and kids and everything else. All right? And I know what people are saying right now. Well, if you don't like it, don't do it. I get it. I do. I get it. I'm just complaining here. I am. And so what they do, though, is I know how this works. I've talked to people that are in the know. They'll have a deadline. And if four more teams want to join at $350 a piece, that's $1,500.
Yeah.
They're changing everything for them, which I get it. I mean, we've sometimes have a blogs are all done for radio. And I get somebody that I've asked for 2 weeks, say, get me your new ad. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I get the new ad, and I've already done the logs. Everything's clean. And now we got to find 6 spots a day, 8 spots a day at the last minute, which is fine. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that we don't really technically have a deadline.
Sure.
Okay? They usually have some kind of deadline, but everybody knows it's soft. And so, yes, what you do is you make a way to get the ads on, because we are not a nonprofit organization, much as the basketball tournament isn't either. And so at the end of the day, you know, what we do in regards to adding the ads to the schedule only affects us, okay? It affects a lot of parents and people and so forth and so on. We have a player on our team. He needs a ride now on a Thursday because his parents have to work. They can't just say, hey, Wednesday, I'm going to get off work here. I just know how it works. So anyway, it's all about the Benjamins, man. And that's how traveling sports is. And it isn't just basketball. It's that way with volleyball. No. It's that way with baseball and softball. It's never conducive to what might be best for the players, the coaches, the teams, and the parents, of course. So anyway, I'm off that now. speaking of something that upsets people, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He is not the best PR guy. Rob Manfred, kind of the State of the Union of Major League Baseball, happens, you know, the NFL's kind of State of the Union is before the Super Bowl. Roger Goodell will talk, blah, blah, blah. All-Star game for Major League Baseball is kind of the State of the Union in a way. This is what Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, said yesterday. I kind of reject the premise of the question that minor league players are not paid a living wage. I think that we've made real strides in the last few years in terms of what minor league players are paid. Even putting to one side the signing bonuses that many of them have received, they've received housing, which is obviously another form of compensation. So I just reject the premise of the question. I reject the premise that they are not paid a living wage, end of quote. Well, that didn't make some people happy. Advocates for Minor Leaguers, a nonprofit organization working to improve conditions for minor league players, released the following statement after Manfred spoke yesterday. They said, and I quote, "Most minor league baseball players work second jobs because their annual salaries are insufficient to make ends meet. The commissioner makes an annual salary of $17.5 million. His suggestion that minor league pay is acceptable is both callous and false." End of quote. End of quote. Last year, Major League Baseball raised the minor league minimum salary for non-40-man roster players at each level, though many still are not paid a livable wage. Players are only paid during the regular season. They are not paid during spring training or during the postseason or for off-season workouts. Here are the current minor league minimum salaries. Ready? Now remember, this is not 52 weeks of the year either. Rookie ball, $400 per week. That, and this is a raise. They raised it up to this. $400 per week for rookie ball. $500 per week for single A. Double A, $600 per week. Triple A, $700 a week. Now, you start doing the math. You're like, well, $700 a week, that's not that bad, man. That's $3,000 a month times 12, $36,000. No, no, no. It ain't 12 months out of the year. It's, like I just said, they're paid during the regular season. Regular season's roughly, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. So, 6 months. So, times, say, 24 weeks, 700 times 24 is what? 700 times 24 is?
A second.
700 times
16,800.
That is
16,800.
You're not gonna do well on $16,000 a year typically,
because then you're asked to stay in shape during the off season and work on your game during the off season. So it's not like you can go get that $50,000 account executive job that they're gonna let you go away for 6 months too. So you know,
you have to have like a part time job when you're not playing, basically.
Yep.
This season, Major League Baseball began providing housing for minor league players, so yes, conditions have improved, but non-40-man roster minor league baseball players still are not compensated, as well as NBA G League players who get $38,000 per season, or NFL practice squad players who get $9,200 per week. $9,200 per week compared to $700 a week at AAA baseball. Or minor league hockey players who get $51,000 per season in the AHL. Well, that's certainly a more livable wage, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Rob Manfred, rejecting the premise.
$400 a week when you're playing low A.
Do that, ball. That rookie ball, do that one. 400 times 24, that's $9,600. So, kids that are pursuing their dream at rookie ball are making $10,000 regular season.
Yeah, it's $9,600.
Rob Manfred wouldn't know what livable wage is. He's making $17 million a year. That tells you you're out of touch.
Yeah.
And is that somebody you want to lead your sport? And we've been talking about Major League Baseball. They don't market their players as well. Major League Baseball usually is reactive instead of proactive. And there are other sports that are competing against them to take away market share and even revenue share, although baseball still is okay financially. But, you know, it's leaders like this and commissioners like this. All you got to do is look at the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and see where it takes you. It takes you into a tough situation. And there are a lot of players. And we're not going to – Rob Manfred has not alienated just minor league players. He's alienated the major league players big time. And but, you know, as long as the owners are cool with him, it'll happen, work out. NASCAR is having a street race, as you heard a little bit ago on NASCAR today. They are celebrating their 75th season in 2023, and the first time ever they're having a street race, which I think is pretty cool. Cup Series will converge on downtown Chicago on July the 2nd of next year. Ben Kennedy, a 30-year-old great-grandson of NASCAR founder Bill France, worked up the idea. NASCAR and Chicago have agreed to a 3-year deal for the 2.2-mile street race. So there you have that. Charlotte Hornets forward Miles Bridges has been charged with domestic violence in L.A. Bridges is now facing one felony count of injuring a child's parent, two felony counts of child abuse under circumstances or conditions likely to cause great bodily injury or death. District Attorney's Office released a statement. Domestic violence creates physical, mental, and emotional trauma that has a lasting impact on survivors. Children who witness family violence are especially vulnerable, and the impact on them is immeasurable. Mr. Bridges will be held accountable for his actions, and our Bureau of Victim Services will support the survivors through this difficult process. According to the complaint, Bridges allegedly assaulted his girlfriend on June 27th or 28th in front of their two kids. Imagine witnessing that. Bridges was arrested for a felony on June 29th. When news broke of Bridges' arrest, the Hornets made the following statement. The Charlotte Hornets are aware of the situation involving Miles Bridges. We are in the process of gathering additional information. We have no further comment at this time. Bridges was the Hornets' leading scorer last season, averaged 20 points a game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in 80 games. Prior to the start of free agency, Charlotte extended a qualifying offer to the young forward, which made him a restricted free agent, meaning the team could match any offer sheet he received. The Hornets had until July 13th to rescind this offer, and they did not. Which means now that if Charlotte wants to rescind the offer, Bridges would have to give consent to do so. So now Bridges has strength there, which is weird. Bridges to Raymond is scheduled July 20th. Listen, this is simple. The message is simple. It's been this way in sports for a very long time, and honestly, it happens in real life as well. Mm. If you are a really big deal and you're really, really important, and if you're really rich, if you're rich or you're really, really important or really, really valuable, no matter what profession it is, no matter what sport it is, we don't like what you did. We'll come out with a statement. But if there's any way we can keep you, we're going to keep you. And to me, that's exactly what happens when you had till July 13th to rescind the qualifying offer. You've had 2.5 weeks to gather more information, and you're allowing now Bridges to have the power. Do you think he's going to turn it? Do you think he's going to give him consent to get rid of that? Nobody in the league is going to probably want him at that level now based on his issues unless or until he's cleared, so forth and so on. And this is a problem in society. We know this today. There's domestic abuse, and it's not just men beating women. Women have beat men, too, by the way. But certainly it should not be condoned. It should not be accepted. And then on top of this, doing it in front of your kids is just beyond cruel. And I know of a situation with a friend of mine where his significant other just completely left. And she has all kinds of opportunities to spend time with her kids when she wants to. But if it's not on her schedule, then he, the dad, who's stuck around and done everything, he's selfish. You're the one that left. You're selfish. If there's ever a picture in the dictionary to show somebody that's selfish, it would probably be that person. It's always ironic how people say these things. You know, they're stuck in their world, their bubble. They don't realize anything. You know, it could very well happen to Miles Bridges. He ain't paying attention to his kids. His girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever, is maybe raising the kids. He's always traveling, and he doesn't understand anything about, well, if he's starting to get riled up, hey, kids, go to the bedroom or something, which, you know, you still could hear something, obviously. And I'm not saying there's a wrong or right way to do this. It's all wrong. But kids seeing, and listen, if you're listening right now and you're from a split family, you know, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories or anything, but if you have a mom and a dad that, you know, right now that are taking care of you, living with them, appreciate that you have two parents. Some people lose a parent because of cancer or who knows what else, mm-hmm. you know. And there's others that get divorced, and then there's another stepdad or stepmom comes in the equation. Some cases, people get married 3, 4, 5 times, which probably isn't good for the kids and everything else. And it's the kids that suffer. And granted, this woman has suffered, obviously, when Miles Bridges is, you know, physically beating her, according, allegedly, whatever. But then on top of that, the kids now have that vision in their heads for the rest of their lives. And can you imagine how traumatic that could be for a kid at any age? I mean, I can't imagine if I saw my dad beating my mom or my mom beating my dad. I mean, I can't imagine what that would have been like. I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend I know what it's like. I have no clue. But I know, as I get older, more and more people that I know are having issues with family, or there are some issues in regards to cheating or deserting the family or some brouhahas here and there. I know of a couple of families. I know of kids that I've been involved with in coaching over the years that have actually witnessed something like this. I know this. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine what it's like. And so, you know, it comes back to the adults need to be better. You know, there was something that was put out there the other day, and I don't want to get into too many specifics, but somebody labeled, you know, because the pool was closed, all kids are lazy. That's not true. That's not true. And here's the thing. You can be an adult and be a lifeguard.
Oh, yeah.
You're allowed to. Okay? So the thing that I point out there is there frustration with things being close? Is there frustration with restaurants being half empty and they're still not seating people because they're short-staffed? Is there frustration with things coming after COVID? Is there frustration that there's a supply chain issue? Is there frustration with gas prices? Is there frustration with going to the store and paying 9.1% more than we did a year ago with inflation? Yes. Does that mean you can beat the crap out of people? No. Does it mean that you can just go ahead and slander people left and right and call everybody names? Really, you shouldn't be able to do that either. And so kids are learning, and the kids that are working, that are keeping the pool, or the people that are restaurant workers that are keeping the restaurants open, they're the ones that catch heat. They're the last people that should catch heat. Mm-hmm. They're the ones actually working. They're allowing you to get to a restaurant and eat. Oh, God forbid you got to wait a little bit. Do you know you're not the only person that lives in the world today? There are other people in the restaurant that are just as important as you, believe it or not, okay, that need their food and actually ordered it before you, and it should be their turn to get it anyway, and they're patiently waiting, so why the hell can't you? And so people rationalize and justify. Well, I can yell at the waiter or waitress or bartender because I didn't get my stuff as fast as I used to. But don't open their eyes to see what's actually happening. You've got three waitresses trying to wait on 50 people. That's tough. Really tough. Why does it take me longer to get my... Dang it, I'm behind. I want to hurry and get home to get my nap. So I'm in line at the drive-thru to get some fast food, and it's taking too long. Or I'm in the drive-thru through the bank and it's taking me longer for them to give me the cash out of my check. Maybe there's not as many people working at the bank as there usually is. It's okay to observe and use your eyes, and instead of looking straight ahead into a wall, it's actually okay to have peripheral vision. It's really important, especially in sports, but it's also in life, to actually see what's going around you. I have a relative that I know that was a complete AH. I mean complete AH. I've heard this story. She apparently thinks she's so damn important that she was just ripping this guy who was busting his butt for a party at 12 at a restaurant, and she, God forbid, had to stand out in the heat for half an hour, and by golly, she needs her food. But there's a restaurant full of people, and this poor waiter is busting his butt doing the best he can because he's got more tables than he should, and she tells him he's the worst waiter she's ever had. Do you think he wants to work anymore? Do you think that makes him go, wow, I can't wait to go to Applebee's tomorrow and get on my shift? You know, when we treat people like crap, they eventually say the hell with you. Okay? It's like how we treat coaches. It's how we treat officials. It's how we treat people at a grocery store if something's wrong. It's how people treat people nowadays. And unfortunately, we hear about the horrible, mean stories. I'm still hoping, maybe against hope, that there are more people in this country that are nice and respectable and caring and compassionate and kind and understanding, to where maybe they start to get a little fired up and they're able to at least stop, look around and go, maybe they're doing the best that they can. Instead of going after the people actually working, you know, instead of throwing everybody into one lump sum, all kids are lazy, all adults are lazy, whatever it might be, maybe you should say, man, there are some kids that just don't want to work anymore. Or there's just some adults that just, you know, they just don't want to go find a job. I'll tell you another one that I'm hearing a lot nowadays, and I'm hearing it from almost everybody I see. Jason's been with me, and I've heard it. He's heard it with me. And that is an automatic, and I don't like this vague stuff. I don't like how you automatically say, well, society's lazy, or adults are lazy, or kids are lazy. And then the other one you hear is, nobody wants to work. That is not true. That is completely not true. I work. Am I a nobody? Nobody wants to work. Yes, I understand the point of the comment, but literally it's completely untrue. The point of the comment is, there are a lot of people that don't want to work like they used to. That's how I take it. That's how I interpret it, right? But I could argue unemployment is really low in many parts across the country, including our area. Maybe, and nobody seems to bring this up, but I do from time to time, maybe we have more jobs than we've had before, and we just simply don't have enough people to fill them. Does that mean that people don't want to work? Well, yeah, there's probably some people that don't work. Mm-hmm. Are there some people that are lazy and don't work? Yes. Are there some people busting their butt with three or four jobs to pay the rent? Absolutely. So don't sit there and tell, you know, a person would be offended. Some single mom's working three jobs, barely sees her kid, and then comes across somebody and they say, yeah, nobody wants to work anymore. Man, I'd want to slap that person.
Yeah.
Because it's insulting. I'm working three jobs. I'm not a nobody. So lots of people that work. All right. There's lots of people that have multiple jobs and they have to pay for inflation and higher prices. And so what happens is a lot of people get on edge. Right. And everybody wants to worry about themselves. And so I get back to the word selfish. Selfish. And here's another problem that we have. OK, I know here in our area is that sometimes there are people that want to take jobs. I know of a couple circumstances. There's nowhere to live. So does it mean, so because they have nowhere to live, does that mean they don't want to work? No. But you need to, I don't think you want to live on the streets and be homeless and have a job in Beloit, Kansas. You probably want to have a roof over your head. That seems logical. So what I'm trying to say is we generalize way too often. We generalize, oh, all kids are lazy and all they do is play video games. And in fairness to my kid and his generation, I said, you guys get a bad rap sometimes with that. Because all that technology and social media is also much worse to deal with in regards to bullying and mental health. All right? And on top of that, that generation's had to sit through. None of us older people, including myself and us three sitting in this radio station, many people listening, have we ever had to go through grade school or high school with COVID and be homeschooled or have to go home and remote learn? And our seasons and softball and baseball eliminated and music, all these opportunities for one full year, if not 2 years in some cases across the country, were eliminated from my high school career. I didn't get to play sports. I didn't get to play the trombone. We didn't have band concerts. We didn't have forensics tournaments. We didn't do any of this stuff. All right. I didn't have social aspects because I was at home. I was not allowed to go to school. So we sit here and we say the younger kids are lazy. They've gone through a hell of a lot, man. They've gone through a lot. Do we stop and think about that? No, we don't. We don't because something's closed, and so we're really mad because it doesn't fit our schedule. You know? Like, you know, there's different things to do. You have the power of the money in regards to extracurricular activities. If you're upset with something, can you make a protest? Yeah, your protest is, I'm not going to that restaurant anymore because I had bad service. Or I don't have to go to that water park because it was closed one day and I'm upset. You have the right to do that. Absolutely. But be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Because there are people that are edge that can rationalize anything nowadays. And I don't know if Miles Bridges is rationalizing anything to get back to the sports story. But just because he's an athlete doesn't give him the right to beat the crap out of his significant other. And surely he's not only messed up her life, allegedly, but he's messed up his kid's life. And why is it? Is there an excuse? You know, I don't make enough money. Of course you do. Did she do something to upset him? I don't know. I don't think it means you can just beat her. But that's how people rationalize it. You know, I'm not going to do this anymore because I had one bad experience or something was closed and I'm mad as hell and I'm done with it. Okay, well, you can do that. Why can't you just do that, though? That's the thing. Why can't you just do that? Why do you have to spew it all over social media and tell the whole damn world how you feel about something that honestly is not that big a deal? It might be to you, but most people are like, dude, geez, I can't understand why this lady's freaking out. It's very, very simple. It's not that big of a deal. Well, to that lady, it is. Okay? And I respect that. But it doesn't mean you have to trash everybody at the restaurant. It doesn't mean you have to trash everybody at the hospital when they're short-staffed because people are so tired of being disrespected and treated poorly and they're trying to save your dang life. You know, we've got to be better. Adults, you know, somebody wants to say kids are lazy. Younger generation is lazy. I'm going to tell you something. Adults need to be better. You got to set the tone. Adults got to be better. Miles Bridges needs to be better. Rob Manfred needs to be better. He don't know what the hell it's like to not be on living wage or not. He's making $17 million a year. Our politicians have no idea. Do they go hang out and see what the homeless go through? No. Do they go follow somebody around that works three jobs, single mom, nearly sees their kids and their oldest kids raising their two other siblings? Because I know circumstances like that, and I feel for those people. Because they're trying, and 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 they're trying. Do these people then come out and say, well, you know, I reject the premise that they're not paid a living wage? Do you know what the living wage is? That would be a great follow-up. Mr. Manfred, what do you believe is a good living wage? Because I'm going to tell you something. $9,600 for one season playing rookie ball is not a livable wage.
They've done, a couple of reporters have done this with some of the congressmen. Just ask some simple questions like.
They have no clue.
How much is a gallon of milk? How much is a loaf of bread? How much is a gallon of gas? And, you know. Especially, and it wasn't a time when you were arguing about the price of gas. It was just a normal time. And 80% of them got it wrong. And some of them weren't even close. Yeah, some of them thought milk was $10 a gallon.
They live in a bubble.
They have no clue.
How much does health insurance cost for a normal American? They have no idea because it's all taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You used officials as an example. I saw a video the other day of a big brawl in Oklahoma, I think it was, on a basketball court. And it's just, you know, a friend of mine lives in the Kansas City area. He knew I used to do it. And I feel I'm a little bit tougher. I got some thick skin, and I'll give it back as well as I'll take it when it comes to some of these verbal things. If I was at a restaurant, or I'd be fired as a waiter because I wouldn't. I would give it back.
Yeah. And I don't blame
and
you.
And so, and I got I use the air quotes of trouble. I got talked to a couple of times as a softball umpire because I would give it back. I'm not going to put up with it.
Sure.
And so, but a friend of mine knew that I used to do this. He sent a text. He goes, what did you get paid as an umpire during softball? And I get it that, you know, Kearney, Nebraska and Kansas City aren't the same market, but I was like, at the time, it was like $15 a game. He goes, they're offering $25 an hour, which would be a game in these adult league softball. And they're offering $25 an hour, and they're not getting them filled.
Yes.
And I said, and I don't blame people. Because we went through it, and that was 10, 15 years ago. We'd start with enough umpires to have two umpires on one game on all the fields. Every and these seasons are 8 to 10 weeks long.
Mm-hmm.
But like by week six, it's one umpire per field because some of them just are done. They couldn't handle it. People that have been in the leagues for years know the rules inside and out because they wait for the other team to mess up on Section 7, Rule 2-5 of 1 so they can jump all over them.
Mm-hmm.
But they know the rules inside out, but yet they're the ones that want to try to. I had a team that tried to pull a guy out of the crowd. The league rule was if you're played short. Short in the number of people needed. You could play one or two short, but you'd had to take an out in that batting order just so people wouldn't take the eight best players in town and just keep hitting them over and over. So they did this for six innings, and then they were behind in the seventh. They tried to pull some 70-year-old man out of the crowd, some father of someone that was playing. He just came to watch. They tried to pull him and say, he's on the team. I'm like, you know this rule. You know you had to have him signed up before the game. Well, I just don't agree with the rule. And they went and they just argued and argued and argued. And these are people that have been playing for 10, 15 years. Mm. They knew this rule.
Mm.
And I just said, well, you knew the rule. We're done. And then they got mad that I even bothered to raise my voice. Because they're like, I had a bad day at work. This is my chance to take it out on somebody else, and that's what happens.
But if you're not there and they don't get the play, then they're mad. Why aren't there officials?
Right.
You know, why aren't there lifeguards and officials and restaurant workers and waiters and waitresses, bartenders? I don't understand why nobody wants to work. Gee, I don't know. There's probably a reason why some people don't want to work. Mm-hmm. See, that's another thing. When people say nobody wants to work, well, first of all, once again, that's not true. Okay? There are people that don't want to work, but there are some people that don't want to work certain jobs because they don't want to put up with it.
Right.
And I go back to the whole, and I told told this once before on the show, that there was a poll or study, whatever, that they surveyed 2,000 people that are restaurant workers that quit, that were just fed up. And 54% of those 2,000, so over 1,000 out of the 2,000 people surveyed, said there is not enough amount of money to get me back as a waiter or waitress.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how bad people are. And two people that are trying to simply do their job. It's ridiculous. And the other thing, too, is I've heard the saying, you know, there's certain myths in life that are completely bogus. All right? And I'll give you one. The customer is always right. Mm-mm. That is a crock of crap.
Mm-mm.
The customer is not always right at all. And listen, before you sit here and say, what do you know about waiting tables, Wade? I did it for 4 years in college. And I dealt with people, even then, that weren't the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of my experiences were really good. Most of them were. I would guess it's worse now. So when you complain about, in some cases, when you complain about people, well, they don't want to work. And I didn't get my food on time. Nobody wants to work. Well, you had a person wait on you, and they worked. So that's not true. Nobody didn't want to work. They worked, and they worked a double shift, and they're exhausted. And they've been on the feet all day, and they had a piece of bread maybe real quick or had a salad so they can keep this restaurant open, keep serving you. And they're probably underpaid as it is. Okay, you should tip them even better, but you probably won't. You'll be cheap when it comes to that. Now, let me go back to the officiating part. All right, Kansas City, traveling tournament last weekend, and we were playing a team from Iowa. And there's this big, broad-shouldered, bald-headed guy, and there were other parents for Iowa, and there's two refs, and they're doing the best they can. Are they perfect? No, no ref is perfect, all right? But they're doing okay, and the game's going back and forth, and traveling basketball, AAU ball, typically it's rougher. They don't call as much, okay? And that's fine as long as you try to be consistent. And I've really hadn't had a major problem with any ref over the last 2 years. There was one gal that refed, and she blew her whistle once the entire time, and I was kind of like, well, what's the point of you being here? I mean, you don't even need two refs. But I didn't say that out loud. I was just thinking it. So we're at the tournament last weekend, and there's two calls, like, back-to-back. And the ball is clearly, and it's like right, we're right on the baseline, me and another parent of one of our teammates. And the ball's deflected, and it goes off of the Iowa team two times in a row. And this dad is yelling, "Watch the game, ref!" Well, maybe you should start watching, because you would suck, because you missed two calls standing in your bleacher seat. Okay, so then the kids on Iowa get frustrated because they hear the parents complaining, right? So when they get called for a foul, when they push one of our kids into the backcourt, I mean, literally, two-handed, riding him, shoved him in the backcourt, that's got to be called a foul, all right? If not, then why have refs? They call the foul. The kid shoots the F-bomb at the official. Boom, teed up, all right? About 10 minutes later, another kid, Iowa, gets called for a foul or doesn't get a call when he drove in. He drops the F-bomb or a bad word. The ref doesn't take it. Good for him. Tease him up. And what do you think the parents of their team is doing? Do you think they're yelling at the kid saying, "Come on, Johnny, stop that. That's embarrassing." No, they're yelling at the refs.
Yeah.
Well, if you would have called it, what'd he do? What'd he do? He F-bombed the official. That should be an automatic tech. And one kid got a double tech. He kept mouthing off. He got out. He thrown out of the game. And the parents are so insane that they somehow think little Johnny can't do anything wrong, or they allow little Johnny to say the F-bomb to them in their face, and it's acceptable. And then when officials have some kind of decorum and are enforcing the rules that they're told to enforce, they get screamed at. It's like, dear God. Accept consequences, responsibility for your actions. And there are, and once again, I'm going to be careful. I don't want to be what I was criticizing people of. Not all parents are like this, but I do hear people go, man, parents just raise their kids differently nowadays. No, some do, some don't. Not everybody does. Once again, be careful to just paint this broad brush. Not all officials are horrible. Not all officials are great. Not all parents are bad. And you see the horrible stories. You know, Jason brings up the video of the OKC situation. So we see these. That sensationalizes it. And then we think it's a bigger problem maybe than it is. Or is it maybe legitimately as big a problem as it is? I don't know for sure. But I know I just had a meeting with KB and Keisha. And Bill Faflick, executive director Acacia, and Jeremy Holiday Acacia said, please pass this along to all your broadcasters when you're calling games. And that is, please be a respectful of the officials, even if they make a bad call. They said, we understand if you say, okay, well, that looked like that might have been a travel. But when do not, as a broadcaster, please, we implore you, don't stick and get stuck on a bad call for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes forever. Yeah. Keep riding them. Because he said wives and moms of these officials, who are some of them are young, or girlfriends, they might happen to listen. They hear through the grapevine that the broadcaster was criticizing the official. That's one more reason why the official says, the heck with this. I don't need it. It's already, I got parents already yelling at me. I got people questioning me. I got coaches yelling at me. I got kids now that mouth off to me. And now I got the radio broadcasting or TV crew or internet streaming guys yelling at me too on the radio. Like, why do I need this? I don't need it. And Bill Faflick, the executive director of Acacia, told us in this meeting, he said there was a baseball tournament, I think he said it was Indiana, got canceled. 800 same games wiped out. You know why? Because they can't get enough umpires. Mm. Because people are a bunch of AHs to these people. In some cases, they volunteer, get paid not much. And then you wonder, why is the restaurants not have enough people? Well, they must not want to work. I wonder why we don't have enough officials. Well, apparently young people just can't take some criticism, so they're lazy. No, you try it. You try it. You do the job. If you would be a restaurant worker waiting a whole bunch of people, you would probably not be screaming at them the next time you don't get your bread on time. All right? If you were an official, you may actually understand that it's not easy being an official. There's lots of rules that you're supposed to apply. And you know what? You may disagree with the rule, but that ain't the ref's fault. Go to the top of the chain. If you have a problem with a rule, go to the National Federation of High Schools rule book and contact the leader of the rule changes, okay? Don't scream and yell at the official for simply doing his job. You're upset that the pool is closed for a day. You're upset that a restaurant is closed on a Saturday when you wanted to go and you've waited all this time and you could have gone all week long. But nope, they were supposed to know that you wanted to eat at 7:45 on a Saturday night. Because it's all about you. Like, for crying out loud, man, there are people that are trying. There are some people that are trying so damn hard, they're missing on their kids being raised. They're working all the time. So I am just, we got to stop this. We've got to stop this. We've got to understand what other people are going through. You know, we just need to be more kind and compassionate and understanding and absolutely try to get out of our own little bubble that we live in and actually widen it just at least slightly, a little peripheral vision instead of tunnel vision, tractor beams right down the middle, to understand that there is something going on outside of your personal life. There are other people working their asses off, doing the best they can with higher, and so 9% inflation doesn't really affect the rich people, does it? I got it. Big deal. You know, but when I got to go fill up at the gas station now with my vehicle, I wasn't expecting to spend another $50 a month, which to people that make plenty of money, like, what's the big deal? Because they don't get it. They can't relate. Just like politicians can't relate, as we talked about. Richer people really don't relate. Rob Manfred can't relate. I reject the premise that these minor league players are not paid a living wage. Do you know what it is? Odds are he doesn't. Do you, when you're in a restaurant screaming at somebody and being mad and being an AH, like one of my family members I've heard this story about, okay? It's not my immediate family, but it's down a great aunt, okay? And she's very pompous, always has been. She's very selfish, always has been. She is not a horrible person when you hang out with her. She laughs. She got the funniest laugh of many people I've ever heard. And she likes to have a good time. But she's really, I've always felt this about her all the years I met her, is she's always worried about herself. All right? She's worried about herself. And she has no idea what it's like. She has no idea how much the waiter's being paid per hour to wait on her party of 12. She has no idea. Just like Rob Manfred has no idea, just like many of our politicians have no idea what is truly a livable wage or what the budget is for somebody in a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment with four kids and two beds, if they're lucky. They have no idea. But yet, they are the experts. Well, this person isn't working hard enough because I didn't get my food soon enough. You know what? That person be busting their butt and the cook messed up.
That's happened. I waited tables. The cook has messed up before. All right. Sometimes I messed up. I wrote down something wrong. Sometimes a customer tells me they wanted something. I wrote it down right. The customer can't remember and then tells me I got it wrong. I'm like, what do I got to do? Start recording this conversation to prove it? And even if I could, they still would argue with me because they're just people that want to argue. They're people that want to complain until their dreams come true. So before you start screaming at a restaurant worker, before you get yelling at kids because they're lazy, before you want to go all off on the bank doesn't have enough people, or you want to complain about I went here and I didn't get served, I went to, you know, I can't find anybody at Target to help me out, I have a question. Well, you know what? And here's the other thing. We live in such a bubble that there are people that have no idea what's going on outside of the county they live in, or the town they live in, or even in the outside the house they live in. Like, go around. There's a staffing shortage everywhere. I've been to Kansas City. I could do the song, right? I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Atlanta recently. I've been to Omaha. I've been to Lincoln. My wife and family went out to Colorado. I've talked to other people that live in other areas. And you know what they all tell me and everything that I see? If you actually go into a business and there is not a now hiring sign on it, you need to take a picture. Everybody's hiring. Mm-hmm. We were in Atlanta, all right? There's tons of people, some million people in Atlanta, all right? Oh, you know, apparently nobody wants to work. So we go in and we go into this. We had to wait 40 minutes to get into this place. It was like 3 in the afternoon, but we figured lots of places you had to wait because there's a shortage of people. So you got to wait longer, or you know what? You might just have to stay home and eat. So you want to go out. You want to have a good time. So we were patient. It was a hot day. It was humid. We had to sit outside. We waited. We waited patiently, my son and I. We watched other people go in. It was funny to see their reactions. My wife always says it's very entertaining to her to watch people. People watcher. Just observe. Don't say a word. Mm-hmm. Just observe. And I was observing, and I saw people go in, and they told us it'd be a 20-30 minute wait. I see people go in. I see them roll their eyes. I see them walk out. I see them disappointed. Some of them disgusted. Some of them are simply doing it fine. No big deal. They sit down, so forth and so on. And you observe that. Guess what was on the front window? Now hiring.
Now hiring. Yeah.
Now hiring. So then we go down to the ice cream place. My son says, let's go get, there's this place called Yard Shakes or something there in Atlanta. Pretty popular place. We've got to walk one block. We go. Place is full of people. And a guy comes out really nicely. He says, I think I'll have two seats for you here in just a minute. I'm like, not a problem. And he closes the door. What do you think is on the door?
Now hiring.
Now hiring. Mm-hmm. Go to Atlanta Braves game. They're now hiring. They need more concession stand workers. They need more people to work, even at a baseball game, for crying out loud. So when you sit here and you think that your local restaurant is the only one that's having staffing shortages, or you think the pool doesn't have enough lifeguards and you're mad as hell about it, what you need to understand is that there are a lot of places across the entire country that are having a hard time filling their staffs. Is it because nobody wants to work? There, once again. That's a piece of the puzzle. I'm not going to deny that. But when you say nobody wants to work or everybody doesn't want to work, that is not accurate. If that's the case, nobody would have a job today. Okay? So in some cases, maybe it is there's not enough housing for people to work where they would work, but they can't. Maybe they have other opportunities and options than they ever had before, so now I don't have to deal with the jerks at the restaurant giving me a hard time as a customer or at any other public establishment. See, these are the things we need to understand. It is okay. And trust me, I've got my own bubble. I haven't been out of the country in the United States. You know, I truly don't know how poor other countries are. It would be an eye-opener for all of us, wouldn't it? To see people like dealing with all kinds of diseases and no health care and people, kids dying in Somalia and Africa and other places, it would be an eye-opener. But if we just stopped and opened our eyes first, forget this. I'm going to be really realistic. Don't even try to open your eyes up to the whole world. Please open up your eyes to outside the table you sit at a restaurant. Open your eyes to outside of the pool. Open up your eyes outside of your town. Open up your eyes outside of your county. Open up your eyes outside of North Central Kansas. Open up your eyes and keep working your way out. Keep working your way out. Open your eyes to all the way to the borders. Because I'll tell you right now, I would say 9 out of every 10 businesses that I go into or go to need help. They're looking for help. And do you think, let me throw this one out, and I'm sorry I got on a little soapbox, but I'm really upset sometimes with people nowadays. One more thing, and that is, when something is closed, I understand it. I get frustrated too. If I was going to go to a store and they say they're open till 10 and they're closed at 8, dude, on the window it says you're open till 10. Well, with staff shortages, sometimes that happens. Whataburger has a big billboard in Kansas City, open 24 hours in Independence, Missouri. Okay, after we left the hotel and the next morning for breakfast, we had an early game. I thought, hey, we'll hit Whataburger and get some breakfast. They weren't open, and I laughed and I joked to my son, they need to take the billboard down. It's not accurate. They're not open 24 hours. Well, that's because they don't have enough people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'll go find a place to eat. Okay, so I understand the frustration. I do. If you say it, you have your hours posted. But there are extenuating circumstances, especially for small business owners in particular that don't have a big staff, don't have a whole big, huge corporation to fund them in case times are tough and whatever else. And so we need to be more cognizant of what business owners are going through. And when something is closed, you know, like, for instance, I wanted to go eat at 8 o'clock, and they were closed at 7. Or I was planning on going to this place. They're usually open on Sunday. And the Sunday I went to go eat breakfast, guess what? They're closed. Now I'm mad about it. Stop for a second. Instead of complaining about it's closed for the day you chose to go, you know what you need to realize? You're upset that it's closed. I guarantee you the business owner's upset it's closed more than you are because they ain't making any money when they're closed. Do you think any of these businesses want to be closed? Like, I'm amazed at how people act sometimes. Like, they think it's a conspiracy theory that people purposely close their doors because they didn't want to serve you when you showed up because they can read your mind. No, nobody makes money when their doors are closed. You still have to pay the utility bill. Ask anybody as a business owner during COVID when things were shut down and people couldn't go out to eat. Do you think that the bills stopped coming? Nope. They still rented the facility. They had a lease or they had a mortgage or they had to pay insurance that still had to come in, a premium to pay that, the light bill, the water bill, the trash. Of course, there wouldn't be much trash if you're not open. You get my point. So, listen, I'm not trying to chastise anybody that's out there, but I want to wake some people up. I want to wake some people up out there. You need to open your eyes. You need to understand that one thing that isn't open for you isn't that that's not it's like not they're not against you, okay? They want to be open. It's not anything against you personally. They're not trying to steal your money, okay? Nobody's trying to steal your money from that aspect at all. They're doing the best they can with the, let me stress the word, limited resources that are available. And if you can begin to appreciate people putting out their best effort, a company, like I say, a restaurant, a bank, car dealership, whatever the business is, if you can understand and appreciate and maybe just be a little more patient, and yes, it might take you 5-10 minutes longer to get your food. It may take you a couple minutes longer in the bank drive-thru to get your money. All right? But it'll be okay. Yes, something might be closed one day. Well, guess what? Good. If you really want to go, check it out the next day. Okay? And there are all kinds of extenuating circumstances that people can't plan for. You can't plan for, you know, some of your staff to get COVID. You can't plan on some of your staff to get sick. You can't plan on somebody on your staff quitting in the middle of a shift. You know, a lot of these small business owners never get a vacation. Now, granted, people would argue, well, that's what they chose. Yeah, true. But they have a right to a mental health day every once in a while, too. So, no, the customer is not always right. That is a complete crock of you know what. You know, they say it because they want the waiters and waitresses and bartenders to, you know, just take it like an official is supposed to take it.
We were told that working at a grocery store.
The customer's right? Always like, right. They're not. Have you seen the way customers act now?
If you have a problem with this person, come talk to me is what my manager would say. Like, don't take it out on the customer. Sure. Come tell me about it.
Yes.
And then I can, if I know this person, I can
Right.
Talk with them about it.
Because you don't want it to escalate and get into a confrontation.
And so, you know, my manager at the grocery store was always like, just go through the process with them. Say you're sorry. You know, we'll try to do better next time. Things like that. And tell me about it, and I'll take care of it from there.
Right.
And so I always got tired of hearing that, too. And that was just working at the grocery store, you know.
Right.
I'm sure waiters, waitresses, and people all around get tired of hearing that. But it was one of those deals where, yeah, okay, I don't really want this to escalate in front of other customers either. So I'm going to go ahead and take the high road here.
Right.
I'm going to let you say what you say your piece. I'm going to let you do what you do. And I'm going to go talk to my manager when I'm done.
Absolutely.
And so, but some people don't. Are wired that way, right?
Like right.
As a waiter or waitress, so they're going to come back at
as
you.
As Jason said he would.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would, as an official,
I don't think I could do what I did as a cashier at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think I could take that kind of
No.
We didn't get that, right?
No.
We'd have the occasional person we'd be mad at
sure.
us because it was taking too long or our machine wasn't working to read their credit card or something like that.
Right.
Would be most of the time the only thing you would get. Maybe you didn't sack their groceries right and somebody get mad at you.
Right.
But as an official, it's a completely different thing. Like, I'm not even going to compare that because I don't think I could hold that in.
What's crazy, too, is when an official gets something right, they even get yelled at. There's a game before us last Saturday in Kansas City, and there was a big collision, whatever, and the parents were like, oh, no, no, and they were yelling at the ref. He called the foul. And he actually stopped, and he turned, and he said, what do you want me to do? I called the foul, didn't I?
Yeah.
And they're still barking at the official. And I'm like, dude, if I was that official, I'd be like, you know what? It ain't worth it. I don't blame them for not officiating. And if you think these threatening things you like to say or you want to degrade these businesses or degrade generations of people, whether it's adults or kids or whatever, it's not going to make anything better. Because I've said this before, and it applies to everything. If you want to criticize, and you have the right to criticize, don't get me wrong, we live in a free country. You have the right to criticize. You have the right to your opinion. I'm just saying maybe think it through a little bit before you just immediately spew it on social media without maybe sometimes thinking. Sometimes maybe you think and you still put it out there. I do not know. But it is good to think a little bit more before you talk. It helps to think a little bit more before you throw something out there. But I've said this before. The people that drive officials out of business in sports are going to be the first people that are going to bitch and moan about why isn't my kid playing JV basketball because there's not enough officials. The same people that have chastised and been mean to waiters and waitresses are going to be mad as hell when their restaurant closes and goes under. That was my favorite place. Yeah, but you didn't treat people like they're your favorite people. So you kind of, you know, what they say, you reap what you sow. You know, I'm really mad that the pool isn't open, so thus I'm not going to support it anymore. Okay, great. That's your decision. You have the right to do that. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. That's your decision. I don't know if you need to tell the whole world about it, but whatever. That's your decision. Okay? But when you and others quit supporting something local, guess what's going to happen? It's going to disappear. It's going to not be open as much. Or there's going to be less people at the pool. There'll be less people needed as lifeguards. Now you have even less lifeguards they need or can't get. And then the pool might be closed even more. And then a couple years from now, when your next kid coming up really wants to go to the pool, and they're like, I'm sorry, but the pool in our local town is going to be closed this summer because we can't find enough people to work. You're going to be sitting there really mad. So maybe appreciate as much as you can get. I know that's not what you want to hear. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. But listen, there are situations in some of these. And listen, here's another thing that people don't understand. We are in a bubble here in North Central Kansas. We are in the Midwest. We are insulated from some things. I have talked to people from Oregon and from the coast. I have talked to people, one on a Royals bus trip, about how there are still tight restrictions on various things to do this and do that. And we're 2 years after COVID struck. There's still people that are dealing with all this. We're very fortunate to have what we have. We're very fortunate to be able to do what we're able to do. There are some places in this country where there is no pool open. Because there's nobody to work, or there's some kind of restriction that they can't be open. There are other places that don't have enough people, and they shut down for a whole week. And I'm not just talking a pool. I'm talking restaurants sometimes, or they're closed a whole weekend. Those are two examples I've used because people seem to complain about those two the most I've seen on social media lately. Restaurants and pools. But there are people that criticize other things, too. Why does it take so long for me to get my part from the auto parts store? Well, here's the thing. Don't be mad at this guy that runs the store and the two people working when he needs four more to work. You need to be mad at the supply chain, whoever it is, or you can
shipping containers,
shipping
that are
containers
sitting
that are sitting in the Gulf of Mexico,
not going anywhere.
Right? It's not. It's not. You know, it isn't Doug's fault. Okay, at his business, that he can't get this in for you. He used to be able to get it for you in 24 hours. Now it's going to take 72. But I need it sooner. Well, sorry, don't yell at him. That ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to create ill will, and then he's not going to really want to wait on you in the future. Or he may not want to go the extra mile to help you out.
Exactly.
You know, treat others as you want to be treated. It's the golden rule. And unfortunately, as our pastor said in church about a month or two ago, that, and if you want to take a knock at the younger generation, although I don't think it's a knock on the younger generation, I think it's a knock on all the generations as you've funneled down knowledge and wisdom, is that there's only like 28% of people at the younger generation that knows what the golden rule is. Mm-hmm. It used to be 82%. So we've got people now don't even know when I say, they don't even know what the golden rule is. There are some people don't even believe or understand you treat others as you would want to be treated, because we're all caught up in our own little worlds. And it's all about me, 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 me. And how dare they're closed? How dare they not get that when I want it? How don't they know that I'm running behind schedule because I slept in later than I should have, and that's my fault that I'm running behind schedule, but I'm going to blame everybody else. And that's the other thing that really bothers me, the lack of accountability and for the consequences that come with your actions. And we've got to be better. So let's quit throwing, you know, the younger generation under the bus. They're all lazy. Let's quit throwing everybody under the bus and say nobody wants to work. You know what? There's a little bit of truth in some of that stuff. But those broad generalizations are not any good. You know, like if I sit here and I say, all of our listeners are the greatest people in the world. That's not accurate, okay? There are people that probably aren't great people that listen to the show. There are people that are awesome and unbelievable people that listen to this show. They're great. If I said, nope, everybody that doesn't listen to this show is a bunch of idiots. That's kind of a broad thing, isn't it? No, you're not an idiot because you don't listen to this show. You know, some people might call you an idiot for listening to the show. All right? That's possible, too. But let's be careful with these broad terms. Let's instead of beating up the people that are actually working, why don't we appreciate them more so that when you're at a restaurant, if you have the funds, maybe you should tip them a little bit more to encourage them to keep doing the job. Because if you keep going the way we are, it's only, as Bill Faflick told me, the executive director of education, Jeremy Holliday, it's only going to get worse. We've got, and it may be the genie's out of the bottle, all right? And the Pandora's box is blown wide open. We can't put it back. But I'm imploring people, if you're listening right now, try, and I'm going to try to do the same thing. I'm talking to myself as well. Try to be more understanding. Try to be more observant. Try to understand what other people are going through, all right? And you may say, how did we get here on the show today? Well, it ties to two sports stories that we just had. Miles Bridges beat up his girlfriend, wife, in front of his children. People still can rationalize the Charlotte Hornets that, well, you know, we're going to still keep that offer out there for a whole bunch of money because they really want him to play basketball. So we're going ahead and we're going to rationalize it's okay what he did, just like parents can rationalize their kids saying the F-bomb to an official. Well, why did he get teed up? Well, if the refs would have called it better, my kid wouldn't have said the F-bomb. Well, here's an idea. Shut up and play. That would avoid it too, wouldn't it? Okay? And the second part, however, we got here is understanding the world that we live in and having a better understanding of what other people are going through. And here's the thing. This is what's really sad. And this is part of our problem. And this is just my opinion, and I could be dead wrong. You disagree with me, fine. But our elected leaders, and notice, I shouldn't say leaders. My bad. Totally my mistake. Our elected officials. There are some officials that are leaders. I will say that once again. Don't lump everybody. That's another thing we do, don't we? All politicians are bad. That's not true. All right? All politicians are all out for themselves. That probably isn't true. All right? I say probably.
Not when they start.
Okay? But many politicians, many elected officials, and people in power like Roger Goodell with the NFL, I'm sure, but definitely Rob Manfred. When you say, I think it's an uneducated thing to say. When Rob Manfred says, I reject, like he doesn't just say, I disagree. I reject the premise of the question. I reject the premise that they, minor league players, are not paid a living wage. the great follow-up questions would be, how much does a rookie ball player make during the regular season, Mr. Manfred? And the answer would be $9,600 roughly. Do you think that's a livable wage? Or the follow-up would be, do you think $9,600, could you, no, this would be the great follow-up question. Mr. Manfred, do you believe that you would be able to survive and do well on $9,600 a year? Mr. Manfred, do you believe that $16,000 a year is a livable wage? Set it up to make him look like an idiot. Because he is an idiot when it comes to how he said it. And the reason he's an idiot, and you may say, well, Wade, that's a strong word for a guy that's a commissioner. That's pretty smart to get where he is. No, I'm saying he's an idiot when it comes to this topic. He's out of touch. He's making $17.5 million. And he's commenting about what a livable wage is? He has no clue. More than likely, the price of beef at the store. He probably has no clue what the cost of rent is. He has probably no idea how much utility bill is. You know why? Because he has people hired to take care of that for him as he's busy handling Major League Baseball and saying silly things. Same thing happens with richer people. It happens with elected officials. They don't have to, they never see their bills. They don't see the health insurance premiums go up because it's all taken care of. And it's not just elected officials, it's many other people too. And so it's kind of like, it's not in my backyard, why worry about it? But that's one thing to be uneducated and not understand what's happening. That's one thing. But then when you double down and say, well, I reject the premise that they are not paid a living wage, now you just come across as a complete moron. You come across as a fool. You come across as an out-of-touch rich person that's trying to tell younger people they're trying to make it minor league baseball. Or you also, if you're a rich person in everyday society, and say, well, they're making enough. I gave them a dollar an hour raise. Oh, yeah, they're loaded. Belly me up to the lottery table or belly me up to the bar here. You know, I get the $12 shots out. Oh, my gosh, I'm rich. Like, oh, I gave them a raise. Well, that doesn't mean it's still good enough. You know, in some cases. And I just really get irritated with people that it's one thing to live in your bubble. It's one thing to live your life. That's cool. I get it. We all, to some extents and purposes, live in a bubble. Totally get it. But when you start making public comments all over social media and to a whole bunch of people publicly running down people and organizations or saying completely inaccurate information, spreading falsehoods, that's where I draw the line. That's where I'm going to speak up. And if my wife's involved in one of those professions, I'm going to stand up for my wife. If I've got a kid involved in something like that, I'm going to stand up for him. If Dusty's working three jobs, I'm going to stand up for Dusty. If Jason's working two jobs and busting his butt, I'm going to stand up for him. If I'm going to have a family that I know that a mom has three kids and working three jobs, I'm going to stand up for her. All right? Because who the hell else is?
One thing we've also done is we've leveled up. It's not just, you know, it's not just on the ride home from the game going in your little car going, was that official not that good? Or something like that, or you question it. Or no, we've leveled up in this last few years. It's now a conspiracy theory against my team. So, you know,
Jake, it's not your fault. If that umpire would have called balls and strikes like it should have been, you never would have struck out.
Yeah, you know, we see it in all, and it's leaking into all levels of sports. It used to be professional, then it's college football. Now it's college football's the worst, by the way, on the conspiracy theory stuff. But it's now leaking in. It's now at high school level. People are like, well, you know, we go to that gym and we never get a good set of officials because we haven't won there in 14 years, and it's because they hire officials that are against us.
And if you say that to your kids, you've just made it harder for your kid to win because now they're thinking the same thing.
And I'm not joking. I am not joking when the team in seventh place in E-League softball, adult league softball, says, you guys hate us here. Well, probably, yes, we do. But,
you know, but you suck.
It doesn't matter on a play at first base or, you know, it's just, oh, my goodness. It's just like, no, we're not. Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard travel teams. I've helped at some of these big tournaments before, and teams walk out of there and go, ah, yeah. Of course, we come to a tournament in Nebraska, and of course they hammer us because we're from Iowa. No, they don't care. They're just trying to get this game in an hour, and they don't care where you're from. They don't care. People don't care.
No,
they don't care that enough. Especially, yeah, it's just amazing.
Do you know who I am? I don't care. Right. I'm just reffing a game. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah. And so
I'm on the school board. I'm a pretty big deal. I don't give a bleep.
And so
I'm
we
just
do
getting
it.
Paid $25 to do a game and get the heck out of here and go have a drink.
Right. When one restaurant's closed, it's like, oh, nobody wants to work. Well, follow the math on that one. Employment is usually around 3-4%. So what does that make the other percent that do work? 96. 96-97% of the people do work.
Do work, yes.
And these a lot of these are second jobs.
Yes.
A lot of these restaurants, umpiring, this are second, third jobs.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to do those anymore, God bless them, I say.
And that's their choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a lot of jobs that are open that mm-hmm. some people may have taken as a second job. Maybe their second job now is to stay home and remotely work.
Day
or as what COVID
right now.
What
yes.
they did say with COVID happened is that some adults said, listen, I realize now I didn't have to put up with that as long as I did. I've got another opportunity and I can be have more regular hours. I don't have to have people yelling at me anymore. I can actually be home remote working or doing something. Maybe there's another opportunity that pops up where I don't have to deal. Maybe I get to work at the bank or somewhere where I don't have to deal with as many people as I would have to at a grocery store or at a restaurant or whatever the case may be. And so thus, what I do is I've eliminated some stress in my life because I don't need it. So I feel healthier and happier. Now I have more time on a set schedule that I can see my kids more often, or I can see them go to school, or I can pick them up after school, or I can take them to the ball game on Friday night. And so there have been many studies and reports out that after COVID, there are a lot of adults that have said, oh, you know what, this is a mental check here. This is like, maybe I've been going too hard and too fast and I've been missing out on some stuff, and realize that I was just working myself into the ground. Does that mean you don't want to work anymore? No, it means you don't want to work in the same capacity. You want a different job. Maybe you want it. You're like, yeah, I paid my dues. I've worked hard enough, and I don't have to deal with that. I have other options. I have leverage to where I can, hey, you know what? I got this other opportunity. I want $12 an hour instead of $8 an hour at this wherever I'm working. And if you can't match it, then I have the choice to say, too bad. It's a free market. You know, you can work where you want to work as long as they're willing to hire you. And if you are good enough, or if they are in such a disarray as a business and not have enough people, yeah, you might be able to name your price a little bit. One of the other things that people have realized, and I've talked to business owners about this, it's a consensus thing. Everyone in businesses I've talked to here recently have said, and Jason's heard it too, and Dusty, I think, heard it too. And that is, take care of the people that are good that you have, mm-hmm. employee-wise. Take care of them. Because you might be short-staffed a little bit, but if you don't take care of this person that's your really, really dependable, and you get a little cheap on paying them, it's going to cost you way more money down the road when that person goes to something else. Now you got to train, and then how many times do you train people, and then right when training's over, hey, you know, I don't want to do this. I just wasted all my time training you on how to learn how to do something, and now you've bolted. Now that is still your prerogative. If you have another opportunity, whatever else. So just, I guess, the moral of the story is understand that there are people out there that have it worse than you, all right? And I've always, this is a saying that I do believe is true, and that is, it can always be better. It can always be worse. It will always be better, depending on how you want to look at it. It'll always be worse, depending on how you want to look at it. If you want to look at the glass half empty, the glass half full. You want to be optimistic, you want to be pessimistic. You want to be kind and joyful, you want to be an ASS. Those are your choices. Just remember that there are some consequences for acting like that. In a good way, if you treat people right, and in a bad way, if you treat people the wrong way. And respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Aretha Franklin sang it, great song. That is something we need more of in this country, and I think it's disrespectful when the commissioner of Major League Baseball rejects the premise that minor league players are not paid a living wage.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.